Hey there, it's your friendly neighborhood Hardendura Hosers back with another episode. I'm Kyle, and joining me is my good friend Alex. How are we doing, Alex?
I'm doing great. We got sunny days.
Yeah, it's not 38 degrees anymore, so we can be outside without
reasonable riding weather,
turning into beef jerky.
Cozy 25 degrees.
Yeah, I'm digging it. So, our episode today is, this idea was from our caller, Harlan. And I think it's safe to say he's our favorite caller.
Yeah, yeah. Number one.
Number one. Yep. Best one we've had yet. All right. And so we are going to go over some techniques from logs to pivot turns and see if we happen to come across anything while we're diving through any of the other stuff.
It's going to be an interesting one, trying to paint a verbal picture of how to do something.
We're going to wordsmith the shit out of this so you guys can picture it all.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Get ready because this is going to be pretty underwhelming, I'm sure.
I'm just trying to think of how I would explain this to somebody who can ride around a circle, use the clutch and shift gears, but isn't familiar with the clutch.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have that finesse. Because if you had the finesse, this might be, I don't know, we'll start easy.
For sure. For sure.
The basics.
So I think the way we're going to do this today is just start from maybe even the small logs.
I'd go even lighter. Let's just a basic like weight, D weight, because that's something we're going to say numerous times throughout this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's weight, so D weight. So what are we talking about with
go
weight?
Go over that. And it's pretty much what we're talking about is weighting the pegs, in turn weighting the suspension, and then D weighting, which essentially is like storing energy in the suspension.
Yeah.
And
can I get engineering for a second?
Please.
So your drive force, that's your thrust, is actually your coefficient of friction times your normal force. Your normal force is the weight that is applied to your tire through your tire to the ground. So somebody who's heavier will generate a larger normal force and generate
such more, as myself.
Yeah, you'll generate more normal force and more traction than myself. It also takes more traction more thrust to push you up the hill, but you generate more because you weigh more, depending on your coefficient of friction. And the idea of weighting and de-weighting is you can artificially increase your weight, where if you momentarily...
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
If you pump your legs down, like you're trying to drive the bike to the ground and you compress your suspension, you're artificially increasing the normal force on your rear tire for a brief moment, which gives you more thrust.
Yeah. Science. Huh. That makes sense though. I like that artificial word in there. I think that's perfect.
Yeah. It doesn't last for a long time because you're not increasing your weight. But similarly to, let's say you're on a floaty and you're sitting on the shore and you push away from the shore. Oh, no, that didn't work. Now I take it all back.
You fucked it up.
I ruined it. I sounded so smart.
It was going good.
It was.
Okay. So... we're going to just forget that the beach debacle analogy. I think the other thing we should just cover briefly is what we say when we call it a blip.
Yeah.
Or a blip of throttle.
Yeah.
And do you think that covers the clutch as well? A blip being...
Yeah.
A clutch with the little bit of throttle? Like, is that one technique? Throwing that word around already.
So for me, when I need to blip it, what I would, if I'm describing it and using that word to somebody, I would be, initially my clutch would be in, but I'd be right at the bite point where it's like, it's dragging.
Yeah.
The bike kind of wants to go forward, but it's not really. There's no extra slack before the bite point. And then as I'm letting it out, I would accelerate just a little. I would roll on the throttle a little bit faster and I'd kind of let the clutch out at the same time and then chop it again.
Yeah.
And I would pull the clutch in before I rolled off the throttle so that the... engine and RPM dropping didn't pull the bike down, that it was like, and then free spool.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, we're going to call blip throughout this episode. We're going to say a little bit of clutch and a little bit of throttle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So not just throttle, but there's a little bit of.
Yeah. So when you initiate the
blip. You're going to kiss the clutch in there somewhere.
You're just dragging a little and you're kind of fighting it. And then when you blip, it's a quick both action. Yeah.
You hammer both of them.
You hammer both. I think the other important is that you pull the clutch in before you roll off the throttle, just by like milliseconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is key. Like I think that the blip of throttle and clutch will do you wonders just even practicing that itself over some of these things that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe should we start with how to do the slow practical wheelies? Because I think that's kind of going to come into play.
Yeah, I'm thinking even more basic. Let's just roots for your weight D weight. Like you roll up to a root.
And we're keeping both tires on the ground?
Both tires on the ground. And this is just like a very simple weight D weight.
Yeah.
Where when this, I don't know, this was one of those things where trail riding sucked until I figured this out. And then I was like, oh.
100%. Yep. That's very true.
I think you had a good word. You were high centered, but.
Yeah.
The idea is that you have got your front tire over a root, or a very small log, and your back tire rolls up against it, and it stops your forward progress. You're every time you apply throttle or try to move.
You just spin.
You just spin. And we see this a lot, especially in people new learning to ride, and that they just keep spinning, and they try to push the bike with their hands, with their feet on the log usually.
And usually they decide the limiter is the option.
Yeah, right to the limiter, da-da-da-da-da, and pushing with your feet. And when you're pushing with your feet, we talked about artificially increasing the normal force. You're actually de-weighting the bike and removing traction from your tire.
And it's interesting to see, actually, when you're riding with someone and you watch that moment where they're going through that, and then they're sitting on the seat, like paddling or something. They hit that root.
Yeah.
Then they put their foot right on top of the small log or root. And then you see the suspension just unload. Just
the bike lifts
up. And then the tire spins.
Yeah. And that's exactly. So the best way I would go about explaining to people is if you need your feet for balance, ballerina toes, where put your weight on the seat of the bike, roll it back a little so that your suspension's weighted. And ballerina toes in that you're not actually putting any weight on your feet. If you need to put your feet out to balance, just no real weight, just barely on your tippy.
You want them like training wheels almost, just where they're like just there if you need them. Just
barely there.
Yeah.
And then roll back just a little and then give it that kind of, this is where the blip, but just a little bit of a roll, a little bit of gas, and get the bike rolling towards it. And as you feel your tire, your bike will accelerate way better than it did when you weren't on it. And as you feel your tire coming up, that's when you let it come up under you.
And I think you need to be fully on the seat.
You kind of need to de-weight like at that point.
You want to be 100% sitting on the seat or like have all your weight on the bike. You don't, I think.
Yeah, suspension should be full sag.
Yeah, I think people think they need to de-weight to get over the obstacle.
To let the bike up.
And to let the bike up and you don't.
No.
Just sit. Or stand on one foot on the peg or whatever it is. Just let your bike pull it over and it will.
And that's the simplest, you know, keeping that weight on the bike. And then I bring this up the next level where you keep one foot on the peg. So you don't sit on the seat. You put one foot on the peg and all your weight is on that one foot. You can have your other toe on the ground to balance you. But again, the training wheels, just very light ballerina toes. And now,
it might even be worth practicing actually pulling your foot off of the ground before you do your blip.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like get your foot up off the ground so you're not using that when you put the power to the ground.
Yeah. And as you're approaching along this time, you can let the bike kind of come up under you by squatting your knee. So almost like your hips stay at the same level and you let the bike come up. And that starts to get a little bit more important, I think, as the logs get larger or roots get larger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the bigger the ledge, because it gets to a point where the suspension can't take the root that you're stuck against. When if you're just full sit, both legs, kind of training wheel.
This is with like a 12-inch undercut root or something. Now you're
into the 12-inch undercut root and one foot on the bike, one foot just barely ballerina toes on the ground. Make sure all your weight is going through that rear suspension. Roll back just a little and then give it the blip, the what, up and then let the bike come up under you. Let your
the
knee
best part
absorb.
Is everybody knows what that sound means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm waving my hands around fanatically here, even though I realize that nobody can see it. And Kyle is rolling.
It looks magical.
Eyes. Yeah, right.
You're really describing it
I got,
well.
I got my clutch here. I got my throttle here. I'm just kind of moving them.
His elbows are out, so he looks like he's going fast.
Full racer stance.
Yeah. So that's like that's a big one. Like that is a big. As soon as I figured that out more, it just helped riding, and that's. An easy way to save energy. Mm-hmm. Like that's huge.
So I would, yeah. And then the practical wheelies.
Yeah. Well, mentioned. You know, I even want to go like doing some, because lots of people ride mostly like a little bit quicker single track, I'd say.
Yeah.
So the one that used to get me all the time is the 3-inch logs that are a little bit angled on the trail.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So this one I found was awesome. When you're rolling, just the weight and the D weight, and maybe a little bit of throttle, just to get that front tire over the log, essentially. Like it's not much, and everyone has those moments where the front tire is all compressed into that log.
So I'm gonna just
and then pretty much the little 3-inch log. Reaches out his little baby hands and then grabs your tire and just tosses it off the trail.
Yeah.
Tosses that tire.
Yeah, we know what this looks like. You see the person going along in front of you and they're all happy days. Boom, land on their side.
Yeah, front tire washout.
Just gone.
Yeah. So this one's great. Easy thing to do. Saves tons of time and you're no longer scared of little angle logs. These are like riding up. And you give the suspension a good compress, really get the weight down on them pegs. And then as the bike's about coming up off of the loaded suspension, you give it a little blip of throttle just to get the front tire light. It doesn't even need to come off the ground, I don't think. Like it just needs to be light. You don't want...
Yeah, I'm not sure I even apply the throttle here. I think...
Yeah, you don't even have to apply the throttle. Weight.
Just make sure that front suspension has lots of... plush travel to come up into. Yeah.
The biggest thing is not having weight on it or like regular riding or brakes.
So like you roll in, like I'll just throw this in there. You roll in on your, you have that panic moment just before you grab your brakes.
Oh boy.
Your front suspension compresses. It stiffens a bit because your air volume is compressed a little and boom, there's nowhere for it to go when it hits the log because you've used all your travel with the brake.
And all the pressure is into that tire.
Yeah, everything's going through the tire and through your bars, and it's going out to the
side.
And
there is no way that the tire is capable of rolling a 3-inch log when everything is loaded up like that.
No.
But yeah, no, I would say you don't even need throttle, but practicing, even it wouldn't hurt to use a little bit of blip of throttle just for the... funsies.
So breaking down the weight and D weight in this, how I envision it and I would communicate to you, paying that verbal picture, is my hips, I will squat just a little in my hips. I'll bend my knees a little bit so that my torso comes down. And then I'll drive with my legs. Like I'm trying to push the belly pan of the bike into the dirt. And then just as I'm coming up to the log, I let everything come up so that everything's like as drooped as it can. Almost like I'm bunny hopping a mountain bike, but I realize that not everyone can bunny hop a mountain bike. But I want to make sure that when I hit that log, everything is as has released all of its energy. The springs are like as droopy as they could get, and the belly pan of the bike is as high as it could be.
And for that brief moment, you don't need any drive on the back tire.
No,
like we don't need to be cooking. Just roll off the throttle, do that weight and deweight, and then pick up the throttle once you threw that 3-inch log.
When my back tire hits stuff, I generally try, like, if I'm cooking, I try to roll off a little so that I think of it as the momentum, the center of mass of the bike is pulling the tire over the log so that it's pulling it straight like a trailer and it aligns. It doesn't get kicked as hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a pretty general theme in all of this as well.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Well, I'm glad we got that covered because that one, when I was learning in the first couple of years of dirt bikes, that got me a few times.
Who drop kicked me from that bush?
Clipping along third gear and whammy. And of course, hands are at the sides because they don't come off the handlebars fast enough. So straight to the dome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely need to replace my helmet there shortly after. So the next one, medium lugs. And I'd say these go up to about a 9-incher or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 9-inch. You know, that's like, what is that? Less than a third of the front tire.
I think you could throw like the root ledges, like we were talking, the 12-inch root ledge, where we were talking about you being hung up on it.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good segue into this.
We're going to go into the next one, though. We got the next one. I got big logs being over 12 inches.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and then, because there is like a medium spot.
The root undercuts, like the circling back, where once it clicked on how to get over stuff like that, you started applying that kind of more dynamically, where as I would come into something, I would do the exact same pump and let the bike come up, but I would just do it while I'm rolling. And I think a lot of that applies to the mid-size logs, where...
Yes, I think you're jumping the gun on what I'm going to say.
All right.
So... what I have for the medium logs being medium, quote unquote, being 9 inches or so up to, compressing the front tire into the corner of the ground in the log.
Yeah.
And then dog's really going to town there. Wow. So yeah, back to what we were talking about, dirt bikes. Compress. So this is fairly similar to the one before, the weighting and the de-weighting, but this one you're going to compress into the corner of the log and the ground, if that makes sense. So you want to get, you essentially want to punch that log and get all your suspension loaded up. And then when it's going to come up, you give it a big blip of throttle and it's going to unload with force the front and rear suspension. And that's going to be what makes everything lighter, if that makes sense. You're way better at wordsmithing this stuff.
Yeah,
really like these ones because once you figure it out, you can get super sendy on them.
Yeah, and that's how I'm painting the picture of what you're saying and trying to follow along with it. And that's what I'm seeing is you're describing like the how to use a 9-inch log as a jump. Like the, not as a jump, yeah, as in like,
I don't know,
but where you almost bunny hop and when you're done, you're higher than the log.
Yeah. But the back tire won't leave the ground until it smashes that log.
Yeah.
For me anyways.
Yeah.
And so this one liked it.
Yeah. That's when
you punch the corner of the log, you're going to need to keep the power down once it's unloading.
And you're talking though like third gear single track hitting this.
I'm talking like first gear, second gear.
Yeah.
Like this is like slow roll up, punch it. And I mean, obviously you can pick up the speed afterwards, but for learning this, and this is how I learned it.
Yeah.
Is going right into the, punching into the corner.
Yeah.
And then that's how the suspension gets loaded up, even like a little bit extra.
Okay. Run it through one more time. Give me
play-by-play. We're going to go first gear.
Yeah. You're rolling up a little bit faster than a walk.
Yeah. We're totally off the clutch, not really on the throttle. Yeah. So then we're going to weight our pegs.
Yep. Pump the bike down.
Pump the bike down as the front tire hits the log, and you want to drive the bike into the corner mentally.
Yeah.
Or like think about stuffing in between the corner of the ground and the log. So you roll up, weight, de-weight, so the front tire is in the into the log.
Yeah. You've weighted. Now you're de-weighting as you're touching the log.
Yes. And then when the bike starts to de-weight, you give it a big, dirty blip of throttle.
Yeah.
But even more so than a blip, as it comes up, this is one thing that took me a long time to figure out, is I would blip the throttle, to get the front tire up, but then I wouldn't leave the clutch out long enough for the back tire to be like under load as it gets into the log.
Yeah.
So I'd blip it, then I'd pull the clutch in, and then I'd usually get hung up on the log, or I wouldn't like have enough momentum to get through it.
Yeah, and then you're stuck
so,
with your back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the big revolution for me was realizing that I needed to leave the clutch out a bit longer until the back tire hit the log as well. And then I'd pull the clutch in.
Yeah. So I would break this down because the way I'm thinking of it is there's two kind of ways that you're splitting just a little, where if I want to bunny hop the bike and send it where you get like, use the 9-inch log to jump like 5-10 feet.
Yeah, we had the traction e-reg thing is kind of what comes to mind.
Yeah, when I want to do like that big distance jump and use the log as kind of a little kicker for that, then as you're saying, I will push my front tire into it so that the whole bike kind of like jams up against the log, and then when you give it the rat, the whole thing just leaps in the air.
Yeah, but this is true. You might want to, and then you might want to be de-weighting before the log.
And if I'm just trying to get over log in like an efficient manner, then I'll start to de-weight a little bit before the log, just as I'm about to touch it, so that it almost kind of bumps me as I'm de-weighting.
This is true.
I think what you're saying is very critical on the throttle, that you got to stay on it, because a lot of times that's where you'll get the donkey kick, as you're. Your front tire, you're on your way up, you tap the log on your way by, the whole bike's kind of, it's lifting a little on the front, and then if you let off, your front tire starts to fall back down, and then your back tire smokes the log and gives you that kick, and that's when your seat or your fender hits you in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you keep your weight on that rear tire, as your front tire's clearing it, keep it on, and then when you feel your back tire start to come up, that's when you can start to chop the throttle.
And you do want to chop the throttle and pull the clutch in. So
yes,
or yeah. So you're not spinning on the log.
Yeah.
Like our goal with all of this is to not spin when we're on wood.
Yeah. Just don't spin. Just please stop spinning. Can you stop?
Because that is what happened. Because as soon as you spin, you lose traction, and then your back tire has free range to go left, right, forwards, backwards, whatever it feels like doing. And that's very unpredictable.
Yeah.
We're agreeing with most of this. I'm just getting a little carried away with getting Sandy.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of good points. I'm just trying to visualize. I'm rolling through it and what the difference is and how to be like timing cues. Where if you want it to be Sandy and you want to jump something, like let's say there's a rock garden there and you want to clear the rock garden, you pump right down into it. Make sure your suspension is like buckled when you hit that log.
And I guess that's just storing extra energy, extra load before.
And then the other timing thing is, like you're saying, you stay on the throttle until you start to feel your back tire like hit the log or start to climb it just a little. Not when you're cresting, because when you're cresting, your normal force drops off because your weight's starting to rise off the bike. Your suspension's de-weighting.
Yeah, exactly.
Unloading, yeah.
And when we've unloaded suspension, we don't want to be on the throttle. Either or.
Yeah, then you don't have a normal force. And when you don't have a normal force, you have no thrust.
You get one, not two. Mm-hmm. So, and these, I think these are probably the most fun logs, in my opinion. Something up to a 9-inch or a 10-inch log.
Yeah.
Because they're playful.
Yeah.
And there's pretty low consequence. And once you get good at them, you can really send them.
I think, let's break down where we learn these. Initially, we have what's called the fairgrounds here in Smithers. And
you learned them there.
I learned them there.
I was after that.
Our Ginger Solution buddy also learned them there. And so it's like three car lengths apart between the logs. And then there's like 20 or 30 logs in a row. And they're all about the same size.
They're in the same category.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So that was where Ginger Solution and I, we'd go out and we'd start at one end and we'd ride through and you're practicing 20 times on identical logs, just boom, 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 boom.
And it's nice not having to turn around. You can just square up for the next one.
You just keep squaring up. And then you get to the end, you do your turn, you go back through, and you're just, you're not doing anything in between. You're just over and over and over that exact same log. And the number of times that we had bad hits, we had, I say that back tire buck where it just like kicks you and you're like, oh, what happened there? And it, now, like looking back, I wasn't on the throttle.
You're like, oh, that's why.
Yeah. But I found that just that repetitive over and over was so helpful. And that if you can find a place like that, or if you have your own field and you want to lay out even just like four logs in a row. And I think that spacing was pretty good, at least two car lengths apart.
Yeah, definitely.
Like four logs, and you can just pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, you want good like four or five bike lengths, I'd think, just so you can kind of get over the one and then kind of recover a bit before you can set up for the next one.
Yeah.
So, this one, should we move on?
Yeah.
I think we're on to the big logs, quote unquote. I have over 12 inches.
Yeah.
And this is the log punch technique. So I'm getting better at this. I'm kind of lazy. I still haven't really committed to learning the big logs properly. But I think proper is the double blip where your rear tire actually leaves the ground before it hits. And so this one, what you want to do, I'm probably going to let you revise this after I muddle through it. So we're going to... What we want to do is we're rolling up. I'm talking about all first gear stuff, like learning.
Yeah. If you're coming up to a log that's like, let's roll in a 20 inch. A 20 inch is big enough that you can land on the other side of it with both wheels at the same time. So you have that controlled landing.
Yeah. Yeah. So what we want to do, you can correct me if I'm wrong anytime in here. We want to do a little bit of a slow wheelie, slow practical wheelie. So we punch our front tire about a third from the top on the log.
Yeah.
Right?
I usually try and have my bike coming down onto it at this point.
This is ideal.
I lift my front tire up and I don't...
So you want...
Like E-Reg, they really push the third of the way up where it contacts. I found that I was topping on, I kept tapping on top because I was too slow. And when I aimed lower on the log, I was naturally so afraid of driving into the log that I'd hit it kind of in the right spot.
Yeah, for sure. So anywhere in there, half to one third.
So suspensions, your bike is coming down and your front tire is landing on the log.
And then when it connects to the log, we're doing the weight and the D weight. So we're loading our suspension again.
Pumping through the legs.
And then that's what's key about actually pushing into the front of the log and not just hitting the top of it.
Yes.
Because when you hit the top, there's no way for the suspension to get loaded up.
Exactly.
To expend that energy and get the bike over top of it.
Yeah.
So once we smash the face of the log, load up our suspension, do our weight and D weight, and then we're doing... another big fat blip of throttle and clutch.
Yeah.
And if we do it properly, which I don't, the rear tire will leave the ground before it even contacts the log.
Yeah. Yeah. And when your front tire is coming back down, I'm just going to rewind a little bit. So you're rolling in, you a little lift, and you start to drop your front end back on the log. And as soon as it hits, you want to store all that potential energy, just like you said, load everything up. When you have your suspension just like collapse at this point, when you give it your normal force on your rear tire, just like through the roof, and because your suspension can't take anything, so you're just straight into it. When you give it that zap, you have so much traction, and that traction is what forces the suspension down and gives you even more energy than your suspension could store.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That's what makes that bike just jump out of the air.
It's so satisfying when it works properly.
Yeah.
And then again, your bike is going to be totally in the air before you're even over the log itself. So it's key to not get crazy on our throttle once the tire contacts the log.
Yeah.
The rear tire contacts the log because it will have to pull it still pull itself up over the log.
Yeah, you still want to carry your front tire.
Yeah, our back tire isn't going to be over the log or on top of it by the time it touches. It's
probably going to contact it about that third, usually a little bit higher than your front tire did.
Yeah, if we're doing happy.
Yeah.
I unfortunately do it more like the medium logs, and it's not
– graze it on the way up?
Yeah.
A little too high?
I need to really practice my getting better on my wheelie into the log initially for the double blip, because I get too scared and then I just end up hesitating and then having to just wheelie and contact the log, the face of the log as I'm coming up.
Yeah.
But then my
back tire is trying to climb around.
My back tire is doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
So that's something that I still need to practice.
Yeah. The things that catch me and are my front tire being too high on the log, where I can't get enough load. So when I go to give it the second blip, my back tire spins because I haven't been able to push into the log and load everything. And generally that happens because my front tire is too high.
Oh, yeah. Then you kind of smash skid plate and slide over it.
Exactly. So if I'm too high, I don't get that compression. When I go to give it the second one, my back tire spins. And then the bike doesn't leap like it should, and I kind of just skid plate and slide over. Yeah. And then the other problem I have that you mentioned is when I've got the bike to jump and I'm cresting the log, both tires in the air, my front just a little bit higher, but I stay on the gas just a little too long, and then my back tire spins up and my front tire just falls into the dirt, and you get that like seat bounce over the bars. Oh my God, I'm going to die.
Yeah. Yes. It's there gets to be quite a few consequences once you get over a 2 foot log.
Yeah.
Or 60 centimeters.
The big old cottonwoods.
Yeah. Yeah. At least they got big nasty bark for all that traction.
Yeah.
Unless it's raining and the bark's gone. And then it's
just big greasy. It's
just lubricated is all it is.
650 on her.
Yeah. And that kind of segues into our next one. Segway. Have you ever ridden a Segway?
No.
No.
I talked about it when I was in LA once. I saw people ripping around on them, but it looked like a pretty good time. I mean, I don't think they're a dirt bike good time, but they look like a pretty good time.
Yeah. I think they'd be good to rally around a mall. Anyways.
It's a good way to shop.
Yeah. So I also like to get hung up on logs sitting on my skid plate. So you don't make it over the big log, and then all of a sudden you're just on your skid plate on top of the log.
The teeter-totter.
The teeter-totter.
The push of shame.
Yes. But luckily, we now know what to do. What we're going to do,
What are we going to do?
We're going to push back until our front tire contact, the back of our front tire is contacting the log. Get as much space as we can between the log and the rear tire. And then what we're going to do, we're going to give it a weight and deweight. It's a common theme here.
Yeah.
Weight and deweight with the blip of throttle as we're sitting on the back seat, back of the seat. And then once we have all of that drive, we're going to lean forward and just let the bike do its thing.
Let her tip.
Yeah. And this really goes back to the roots and whatnot, as we said in the beginning. Same technique, but it makes a big difference when you're not just decide to stand on the log and push over.
Mm-hmm.
All of this, and once I started doing more of these things and really being conscious of it, I saved so much energy throughout the ride, and I could actually go 4, 5, 6 hours in a ride and be fine.
Yeah.
As opposed to an hour and a half and then
making the bike do the work.
Sweating.
Make it lift itself.
Exactly. And this is what we want to do with all techniques.
That's why we ride motorized vehicles.
We want the bike to do as much work as we can. Even something as simple as turning around on a hill. There's nothing wrong with riding up said hill and then turning our tire and rolling backwards.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to lift it around just to turn around on the trail.
No. Yeah. Another one I find, I got to throw this in. These random tips that, you know, you pick up and they make your life so much easier.
These are all techniques, so I think it's relevant.
The head shake. So your bike is now like, let's say you don't make it. You roll it back around under you. You got full lock to the left. Roll it back under you. So now the bike is the tire
90 degrees
perpendicular to the trail up the hill. When you get there and you're like, oh, how do I get my front tire down nicely? Keep your brakes on and just rock that front tire from one stop to the other, just full left, full right, full left, full right. Give it that big bar shake and your front tire just walks around.
It's been so helpful. And I find myself really like trying to help people a lot. And I just yell advice at them.
Get a bar shake.
Yeah. Yeah. I think 50% of the time it's not warranted and not appreciated.
Yeah. People get tired enough that they want to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. That they tell me to fuck off. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be quiet.
Sorry. Sorry. I didn't realize you're getting your workout in.
Yeah. Sorry. But this is what I see. I'd probably say, I see 50% of the people I ride with not know this technique.
Mm-hmm.
Just running the steering from lock to lock when you're 90 degrees or perpendicular, as Alex would say, on the hill. And it saves so much energy as opposed to, I don't even know what you do in those situations anymore.
I see people like
get on the downside of the bike and drag the front tire around.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that. That's like trying to push it.
That's my nightmare. Or lifting
the rear tire.
Oh, lifting the rear
tire. Holding the front tire and lifting the rear.
Let's not do that, people.
You know what I don't like doing? Lifting my bike.
No. It's horrible.
Should put some context. I weigh 165 pounds and I'm 6'3". That's a struggle to lift a pop can.
Yeah. But yes, Alex is unstoppable on a motorbike until his bike falls over. This is the only place I can make up time on Alex is when his bike drops. And it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
If I get real lucky, he like high sides and then he has to lift his bike up from the bottom.
Can you help me? Can you help me?
Exactly.
I need a lift.
Yeah. So we got distracted again.
Oh, what were we doing?
Yeah. Okay. So we got our skid plate hang ups, so we know how to get over logs on our skid plate. And
the showy. I think we're at the showboat.
We are.
We're coming up to the showboat.
It's so practical, but it's so showboaty. Yeah. The amount that I do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you got to practice,
it,
right?
It is. Yeah. I feel practice like a douche perfect. Sometimes and I do it all the time, but.
Only when people yell it at you.
Well, only with, I really feel showboaty when I'm riding with people that I don't know, or this is like the first time I ride with them and people don't really know that I just do pivot turns everywhere.
Because why not?
Because, yeah, exactly. And then all the people that I just met are like, get a load of this guy.
Look, it's Grab Jarvis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they proceed to call me a bunch of names.
Your feelers get a little hurt.
Only a little bit, but that's okay. We'll shrug it off. So, all of you guys can get called a bunch of names and get a load of this guy's. So, pivot turn.
Killer Instagrams, by the way. These make great grams.
Jarvis?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got...
Here you go.
Which is like, that's a little bit unfair. Like, I don't know how, I think... Well, I don't really know what I think. I just don't understand how his slow wheelies are so good and like so controlled all the time.
I think he does them everywhere. I think you're on the right track.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to keep doing them everywhere and they'll just get longer and longer. And next thing you know, you'll be Graham Jarvis.
That's true. I do have 15 years to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. 15 years of slow wheelies. I don't think you'll get there in 15 years. I'm sorry.
No.
He looks so crushed.
It's
right
probably,
now.
Yeah.
Just painting a verbal picture for our listeners. He's pretty sad looking.
Yeah.
Kyle, not Jarvis.
Well, Jarvis is getting pretty sad looking.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. But yeah. Squirrel.
Yes. Pivot turns. So you too could look awesome. So what we're going to do. I don't really know how to explain this. Okay. So we're going to be sitting on our bike in a nice flat ground.
I don't seem to reverse this because you're better at this than me.
Yeah.
I'll have to explain it.
And actually, I might even divulge to you what you're doing wrong on this while we're talking about this. Because it's something I notice. It's a trend that you do it every time.
Me?
Every time. Yeah. So actually, you know what? Should we start there? Let's start there.
Yeah. I know what I do wrong.
Okay. So what you do is you don't ride the bike in a pivot turn. You put your one leg on the ground and you pull the bike around you.
Yeah. Let it come up to the balance point and then just whip it beside you.
If it's lucky enough to get to the balance point.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the only, there's more tire spin and more pulling around than actual riding and as a controlled technique.
Yeah.
Just something I noticed. And I haven't divulged this to you yet.
I feel like it was way better before I got ACL surgery the first time. And then I just got so afraid.
You were good at them. Yeah.
Pivoting on my knees that I just like,
So, yeah. So it's a three quarters commit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my excuse. I had knee surgery. Yeah. No, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But there is a certain level of like commit and just pull around and look around. Look where you want to end up.
It's true. And the biggest part is actually riding the bike in the half circle or whatever you want to do, or full circle if you get that far.
So let's just give us the full layout again. So I'm going to roll through this and you can correct me. I picture myself, I'm sitting on the bike, got my hands on, okay.
I would even start with, we're standing over the bike, 1 foot on the ground, 1 foot on the peg,
with our
ass off the seat.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And
I don't start with my ass off the seat.
Well, so. I don't anymore, but I think this is a good way to do it.
So, 1 foot on the ground, 1 foot on the peg, sitting on the seat. And I just pump down with my leg that's on the peg and I drive that suspension because I know I'm going to apply throttle to lift it. I need that extra normal force. And then once it starts coming up, I almost feel like I'm squeezing and pushing the bike with my heel out from under me.
Yeah.
And then I got to turn my head. And as I'm turning my head, I start pulling the bars around and then my foot's coming with it. And I should I'll pivot on my foot that's on the ground. I'll spin on my toe. And then just drop the bike back down.
Yes. And so the only thing I would really change is if...
Covering the brake with my foot.
The worst part is I'm so much better on the side that's not with my foot on the brake.
Yeah, I'm too.
Which raises the consequences, which makes you commit more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a win-win. So my only thing that I would say is... From beginning at the standing point, you could work in like a bit of a seat bounce in there.
Just as you have dropped your weight onto it and your suspension hits kind of peak compression.
Yes.
The bike's at its lowest point. Then you start giving it the throttle, then the little blip.
Let the clutch out with the blip of throttle.
And that's where...
That's your extra weight and your extra pressure on the tire.
I'm trying to think of how to better explain that, like squeezing the bike out from under you. Because if you don't, you just launch the bike ahead and it pulls you.
And it's,
so that like lean back and squeeze it out from under you. I'm making crazy motions here that don't make any sense if you can't see them. But
no, it's true.
I'm trying to think how to better explain that. Like you don't lean way back. I'm trying not to pull.
Yeah.
My craziness. I don't find myself leaning back so much. Like I still have my weight on my toe. A little bit because
a direction to go.
Yeah, because I need that reference point to pivot around. But at the same time, it's that like almost pushing with the foot that's on the bike, pushing with that heel to almost like try and push the bike out from under me. Yeah, you want
a tube of toothpaste.
And while I'm pushing, exactly.
That thing out. Yeah.
And then holding the bars back so that you're almost like trying to push the peg out from under the bars.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And it's easier to make it around a corner or to pivot in a circle the higher your front tire gets up in the air.
Yeah.
Because once the tire or the bike gets up to the balance point or close to, you need far more effort for the bike and yourself to make the corner. And I think we're just like talking about just like practicing this, not going over a log or anything, but just on the flat ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good segue into the parallel log pivot, I'll call it, where you come up to a log and you're right next to it and your bike is pointing the same direction as the log. That's basically just a pivot turn.
It is. It is.
Because you just put one, instead of your foot being on the ground, you put your foot on the log and then you do the exact same thing where it's the same throw. It's the same, like squeeze it out from under you.
Yeah.
Except as the bike is making that 90 degrees, it naturally just kind of like flips over the log. I've always been amazed at how easy these are.
And I think a big part of it is you want, so first I always do it at a slight angle into the log.
Yeah.
And then when you do your pivot turn and it comes up, we'll say the bike is 90 degrees to the log. Or that's the goal anyways, is to get as your back tire as square to the log as possible. Because if you ride up in along beside it with your front, with your rear tire is just going to keep walking down the log. There's nothing... There's nothing to pull the bike over the log.
Yeah, when you're swinging it.
Yeah, so you really need to like swing it and get it as 90 degrees to the log as possible as you.
Yeah, when the bike's over the log, it should be 90 degrees to the log.
Ideally, yes.
Yeah, okay. You can
fudge it a bit, but it's definitely, I think proper is getting the rear tire to do the work instead of the back tire spinning over the log and just forcing it over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I think. And that's very helpful as well, especially when you're doing log doubles or something, or like in a matrix or something like that and doesn't work.
Yeah.
Those pivot turns over logs is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then while we're on in the field, we can practice some figure eights.
Yeah.
So maybe go over that a little bit because you like figure eights.
Yeah, I love these. This is my standard warm-up. A lot of times when I show up, I like to drive in my gear. So I show up and everyone else is getting changed and doing their thing. So jumping on the bike and just holding it at full lock and trying to go I guess like 3/4 of a turn to make a figure eight, but holding the bike at full lock while you're doing it. And you'll find that every time you touch the brake, the bike will fall to the inside, especially your front brake or your rear, I guess either one. When you apply your brakes, the bike tries to fall to the inside